Don't you like the phrase "path to normalcy"? Wasn't that a wonderful thing to hear? I hope you're excited about. Hope you ladies are excited about ladies' Bible class restarting on Tuesday, and hope all of us are excited about classes on Wednesday night. Not just the auditorium, but our children's classes, and having to do things differently but safely. And just hope we'll continue to follow the protocol, to use everyone's favorite word, and look forward to hopefully in a few weeks then maybe restarting Sunday nights and. And other things, youth devos and all those sorts of things. But it's just nice to have a little hope out there for some normalcy again. Ladies class Tuesday and Wednesday night classes on Wednesday night. Just excited about that. Let me just remind you again, I got a text from our security people a moment ago and just said for me to hammer home, that was their wording, not mine, that when we are dismissed, Bryant mentioned after the closing prayer that we'll have our budget presentation, I guess the best way to put it. But after that, please keep in mind that we're dismissing by rows. We know not everybody likes that. We know it's kind of hard to remember. We're not used to that being the way it is. But it's helpful to us to not just bunch up in the middle of the auditorium. So when we're through with the budget presentation, just stay seated, and some of the men will dismiss here and in the annex that way. And we appreciate you understanding that. And maybe not all that much longer, but who knows, maybe 8 years, we still, who knows. But just please keep that in mind. Don't be bunching up in the middle of the building, and we'll do that safely. I'm going to try to keep my thoughts this morning a little bit briefer because of the budget presentations. We're not here all day. But we've mentioned sort of coming into this week that we're going to be revealing our theme for 2021. You may have seen that in the bulletin. You may have thought Adam's lost his knack for titling sermons. You know, the title of today's sermon is 2021 Theme Reveal. Well, that's real original, Adam. Well, I've decided to keep the suspense as long as possible. We're not starting some kind of trend this morning. We're going to have themes every year. I understand in the past Central's had some years, and other years we haven't. We didn't have one in 2020, thank goodness, because that wouldn't have worked very well. But we wanted to have one for this year for a very specific reason. And without any further delay or anything, the theme for 2021 is going to be Back to Basics. And the reason we wanted that to be our theme for this year is because of the year we just finished. With so many things being just disjointed and different and confusing, we wanted to make sure that in 2021 that we took some time in sermons throughout the year and other things throughout the year to remind ourselves of what we believe and why we believe it. Now, this isn't to say that we're going to take all 52 Sunday morning sermons and all 52 Sunday night sermons and preach, Christianity 101 or Back to Basics or verse principles. We're not going to do every single sermon, but Leo and I have talked some, and the idea is that more often than usual, we're going to go back and preach some just basic reminders of things that we believe. This is just a guess. I tried to go back to the last handful of months of sermons and just real quickly just say, how often do I usually preach this type of thing? And it probably is something like every 2 or 3 months. The idea is basically to flip that this year more like 2 or 3 times a month between Sunday morning and Sunday night to preach something along the lines of apologetics or things about worship, things about church organization, and just different things that hopefully we all believe and know, but to remind ourselves of those things, because in a time where we are very confused about a lot of things, we dare not be confused about our faith. And so to remind us of that, I want us to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I want us to sort of begin this morning with a look at that text that for many of us is very familiar, but I wanted to start here because of the timing in which this little famous passage is found and how it sort of goes along with where we are in a lot of ways. God's people, you might recall, were getting ready to go into the promised land. Moses gives a series of speeches that comprise the book of Deuteronomy. But how he begins that, if you've ever read through the Bible or read through the first 5 books of the Bible, when you get to Deuteronomy, you may think, I've read this before. Well, a lot of it you have, because the name Deuteronomy really just means second law. That doesn't mean the law changed, but it really has the idea of the law was given a second time. 40 years earlier, Moses had given the law there at Mount Sinai for what we know is a lot of the book of Exodus and some of the book of Leviticus. And then that nation did not go into the promised land, the book of Numbers. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. So now this next generation is preparing to go to the promised land. And so to prepare them, Moses gives a series of speeches where he reiterates a lot of that same law, but with an emphasis on, you're going into the land. Remember why you didn't get to go before, or why your previous generation didn't go before. And here's how you are to be faithful. He really starts in Deuteronomy 5 with the Ten Commandments. You'll see those reiterated there in that chapter. The same Ten Commandments you find in Exodus 20, you find in Deuteronomy 5. But then as he really begins this series of speeches, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1 tells us, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it. And if you read through the book of Deuteronomy from that point on, it is law after law after law with the reminder of, when you come into the promised land, here's why it's important to remember these laws and obey these laws. But the first thing Moses mentions is not something about landmarks, not something about sanitation. It's not some theological argument about marriage. It's not something along the lines of making sure you get along with your neighbor. The first thing that he tells them is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Using that passage and the couple of verses that follow that we read together a few moments ago, I want us very briefly this morning to make four observations. And they're observations that are very back to basics, because that's where God started with His people preparing to go into the promised land. A very confusing time, but a very exciting time. And as we enter a new year that, yes, is confusing still in a lot of ways, but hopefully is exciting to us, hopefully these same four things are where we ground ourselves as we as a congregation begin this new year. First of all, notice there's an emphasis on the need to hear. God began this by saying, hear, O Israel. And I think it's important He commanded them to do that. Now, it's not an exact definition, but you may notice on the screens, I like when I see this word to think of the old word hearken, because that really gets more to the idea. God was not telling His people just to let information flow into their ears. He was telling them to make sure they heard to the point of obeying. Some of you use Strong's Concordance or maybe use it online and see the definitions there. If you were to look this word up, you'd find three definitions that kind of summarize it all. To listen, to hear, to listen, to obey. And I wanted to point that out because God was not just telling the people, make sure you let this speech go into one ear and out the other. He was saying, make sure you hear this in order to follow it. Every parent understands this concept, don't we? We give our children something to do, and we come back 30 minutes later, and they hadn't even started, and very often, what's our first question? Didn't you hear me? And when they answer yes, we know they're not telling the truth. They may have heard the information, but they didn't really hear because they didn't obey. That's exactly what God is trying to get His people to see. Make sure you listen to the point of obeying everything that's to follow. It's a New Testament concept. You see a couple of references on the screens before you. In James chapter 1, beginning of verse 22, James would tell us as Christians, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And if I may paraphrase, he basically said, because if you just hear it and don't do it, you're deceiving yourselves. And he gives that illustration of someone who sees themselves in a mirror and then walks away and forgets what they look like. And then he says, but the one who hears and does, that's the one who'll be blessed in his doing. It's how Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount. Our little children like to get together and sing the wise man, do the little motions and all that sort of thing. But before Jesus gave that illustration of the wise man, the foolish man, as he was summarizing that sermon, he said, the one who hears these sayings of mine and does them is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house. But it didn't fall because it was founded on the rock or built on the rock. And the opposite being the foolish person, the one who hears and doesn't do. So the concept of hearing and obeying is something that's found Old Testament and New Testament. But God made sure He began this remark to His people by not starting diving right into the commands, but saying, listen, and listen to the point of obedience. There is a need for us to hear. That's, by the way, why we tried to emphasize the last couple of weeks and elsewhere reading through the Bible in 2021. It starts with hearing. It starts with taking it in. And you may think, well, I didn't start. It's only January the 3rd. You're not that far behind. It'd be a great year to truly hear what God has to say through His Word. But number two, you also have an emphasis in this passage on the identity of God Himself. The first thing that God wanted His people to hear was not, Moses is a great leader. The first thing He wanted them to hear is not, look at Moses' character. The first thing He wanted them to hear was not, look at you as a nation. Look at how large you are, how wealthy you are, how powerful you are. The basis of every command to follow in the book of Deuteronomy, and really every command anywhere in the Bible, is the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's the basis of all of it. Because only on God Himself could He base every possible command, and that's what He does. He bases all of this, not just the part about teaching children and everything else, but everything that follows on His own identity, His own nature, His own character, if you will. I think it's important for us to remember this concept of the Lord is one. There's nothing on the screens about it, but I want to make sure we took a moment to think about it. Because think about the time in which these people were hearing this. Remember the previous generation that didn't get to go in, that also didn't really ever get Egypt out of their system? They built a golden calf, not all that many, 40-something years earlier, right? And they continually grumbled and complained and thought about Egypt. What had they seen in Egypt? God after God after God after God after God after God. The God of this and the God of that and the God of this and the God of that and the God of everything else. But think about the generation that was now getting ready to go into the Promised Land. When this generation was getting ready to die and Joshua gave a speech to the next generation, remember what he said in Joshua 24? Make sure you choose which God you're going to serve. Why? Well, because you can choose some from over here or you can choose from among the gods, plural, in whose land you dwell. You're going to see God after God after God after God after God in the Promised Land as well. That's what Moses was trying to build into these people. You need to remember the Lord is one. There is only one. But in the description, God defines Himself or describes Himself by two names. The first is the word Lord. In your Bible, you may notice it's all capitals. It's that word Jehovah or Yahweh in Hebrew. Scholarly people like to call it the Tetragrammaton. Ooh, all that means is four letters. That's all it means. Because that's how it was done in Hebrew, was four characters. In English, it would be YHWH. That's why it's Yahweh. But the word means the self-existing one. He is the one who has no creator. He's the one who has no beginning. Everything else we know was created. But God is the one who is self-existent. It's not the same word, but it's the same concept as I am. And that's why that phrase is used to describe God over and over in the Bible. He is the self-existing one. But it also He describes Himself as God. That's the word you'll find at the beginning of your Bible. In the beginning, God. It's the Hebrew word Elohim, which, by the way, was used in the Hebrew language not just of God, but of a people. It was a word that really meant royalty or someone who was of majesty. But when it's used of God, it's really the same concept as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So when God bases His identity, bases everything else on His identity, what He's basically saying is, you need to hear from the One who is and the One who is over all. Don't we need to hear from the same One? Isn't that the only one we need to listen to? The One who is, simply because He is, and the One who is overall. Before the lesson, I asked Terry, he said, got any song requests? I said, anything that praises God. And so that's why between the prayer and the sermon, we sang those songs. I appreciate all of them, even though we didn't know some of them very well. I loved them because we were praising the One who is and the One who is overall. But number three, because we know Him, we also need to adore Him. The adoration that's due to God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, or might, some translations have. Most of us probably know that a little bit better, that concept from the New Testament. Because you might recall in Mark 12 and the other accounts of the Gospels as well, you have Jesus being asked, what's the great commandment? Or what's more literally, what's the chief commandment? What's the foremost commandment? And remember, Jesus gave him a twofer. But the first one He named is this one. The first and great commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then He said, the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I think it's safe to say that from beginning to end in the Bible, we read about love, but I think we read about it so much more densely, my best way of putting it, in the New Testament, that we sometimes forget it is in the Old Testament. We read so much about 1 Corinthians 13, read all these other passages about love in the New Testament, but it's found here in the Old Testament, and here it is. But the words you'll find in the Old Testament for love here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is a generic word. I don't mean it's a boring word. I mean it's a broad word. It's beautiful. Because it was a word that can mean to delight in something. It was a word that can mean to be devoted to something. And what Moses was trying to get the people to see is when you think of the one who is and the one who is over all, everything in you should delight in Him and be devoted to Him. But it also doesn't stay within us. That's why included in that is might or strength. Because yes, our thinking, our heart needs to be completely adoring God all the time. Our thinking needs to be filled with making sure that we are faithful to Him. But that needs to come out in what we do. It needs to come out in the things that we do to adore Him. Things like singing, things like studying the Bible, things like telling other people about Him, things like simply praising Him for who He is. And so everything about us needs to delight in God, and everything about us needs to be devoted to God to the point that we adore Him at all times, in all ways, in inward person, outward person. Other really than here, that's the first commandment these people were given. And if you wanted to, you could take the Ten Commandments from Deuteronomy 5 and this one from Deuteronomy 6, and everything else in the whole book of Deuteronomy fitted under those umbrellas. Everything else. Because what he really is doing is saying, here are the commandments. You remember these, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, and all that stuff. But make sure you got it inside of you, and it comes out in actions. And then for, 25, 26 chapters, here are those actions. Here are the ways that lives itself out. Is that not exactly the way the New Testament is presented to us? That if I love God, if I love Jesus Christ with all of my being, here are the things I do. Here are the things I avoid. Here are the things I think. Here are the things I say. It is the inward person coming out in adoration to Him. And then number four, there's also in this text the teaching that's to be done. There's a lot of time and rightfully so, spent in the next few verses that talk about all these different ways. Verse 7, sitting in your house, walking by the way, sitting down, rising up. And verse 8, bind them as a sign, frontlets between your eyes. Verse 9, having on the doorpost of your house, having on your gates. That's wonderful, and that's a wonderful study. But I love the emphasis here on the idea that this is something that was not to stay with this generation. This was something that was to be passed along to future generations. And God simply gave them some ways to make sure they do that. And of course, you've heard it said many times, that basically what He's saying is, all the time, make sure you're talking about this stuff. But did you notice it starts with them? These words, verse 6, that I command you today shall be on, or in some translations have, your heart. I can't teach what I don't know, but I also can't passionately teach what I don't believe. It needs to be in my heart so much that I'm willing to teach future generations about this. And this passage, and I've done it too, is often preached as a parenting passage, and that's wonderful. Parents need to spend a whole lot of time on Deuteronomy chapter 6. But have you ever noticed, you read those verses, we read them together a little while ago, the words parents, mothers, and fathers are not found in these verses anywhere? And the reason I say that is, sometimes we so preach this passage, or teach this passage, for parents, that we fail to realize this was for the whole nation. There were families who didn't have children. Among these, I would guarantee it, there were some that did not have children. Well, could they just say, well, I don't have to tell the kids any of this stuff? No. This was for everyone to make sure they did everything they could do to tell future generations about God. It was to be something that was just part of the people, if you will, not just the parents. The parents had a primary responsibility, but the whole nation had a responsibility to make sure that they were instilling these things in future generations. How were they to do that? A couple of phrases we often overlook. One is the phrase, teach them diligently. That same, by the way, that's one word in the Hebrew language, the whole phrase, teach them diligently. That same word, you'll find translated in your Old Testament as words like sharpen, whet, prick. And the idea is, sometimes this is going to take hard work. Sometimes we might have to do some things that aren't all that easy to instill these things. That's not that we just beat the Bible into our children. That's not it. But he's saying, you're going to have to do some things that take some work to sharpen like you would a sword or a knife, that sometimes may be difficult to instill these things in future generations. But he also talks about talk of them. Anyone notice it doesn't say talk to them? Now, we have to. That's part of what he's saying about when you stand by the way, you walk in the way and everything else. But the emphasis here is on what we're talking about. And the reason I say that is sometimes we use this as a parenting passage and say this is just for parents teaching their children. No, no. The emphasis is on what we're talking about. Whoever of a future generation is around me, whether it's my own children or your children or whoever, do they hear me talking about the things of God? Do they hear me making decisions based upon the Word of God? Do they hear my mouth just filled with the things that adore God, that teach His ways? Yes, primarily, that's for me and my children. But it's not just for me and my children. Is anyone who's around me hear me just filled talking of the ways of God, talking about the fact that God really is the only God, that He is God, that He is the ruler? Do people hear that come from my mouth? That's how future generations come themselves then to adore God and praise God and teach other people. It's because they just hear us talk about it all the time. It's as if we can't talk about anything else. Now, you think about those four things, that's about as back to basics as it gets. But can I also ask the question, are those four things also not so often overlooked? God began by saying, hear to the point of believing the one who is and who rules over all, so that you delight in Him and me and are devoted to Him, and so that it so overflows your life that you teach of me constantly. That's as back to basics as it gets. But so often, that's what we fail to do. Am I really hearing what God says through His Word? Not just knowing the information, not just knowing some Bible facts, but to the point of obedience. Do I really lift Him up as the only God? And do I really hold Him up as the one who rules over everything? Do I really adore Him inwardly and through what I say and do? And do people hear me talk about Him constantly because I adore Him so much? That's why we're going back to basics. Because sometimes those things are the things that are most overlooked in our lives. Maybe in your life, that's been overlooked as well. Maybe you've never come to God in the first place through Christ. I appreciate so much what Gary, the thoughts he led us in before the Lord's Supper about being reconciled, brought back, bought back through Christ. Because what a reminder that is for all of us. How's that done? Well, the New Testament tells us that I must hear to the point of belief, to the point of turning from sin, to the point of confessing Jesus as Lord, and to the point of being baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of my sins. You've never done that. Today's the day. In this room, you can come forward in the annex. A couple of the elders are there. They'll meet you down front. We'll communicate back and forth if someone needs to be baptized or if we need to have prayer for someone who needs to be restored. If you're watching online, get in touch with us through a comment or through social media. We'd love to study with you further. Again, not just to tell you what we think, but to make sure we know what the Bible says. But if you're in person and need to respond, will you do so? We stand and sing to encourage you.